Welcome back to Promoted. I'm your host, Felicity Fury, CEO and co-founder of We Aspire. And today joining me, we have the fabulous Renee Wooten. Renee, who are you? What's your story?
Hello, everyone. Great to be here. And today I'm lucky enough to be in the studio with my fabulous host, Felicity. Renee Wooten, aerospace engineer, pilot, and professional speaker. So today, we've got a great question that Felicity received in her inbox.
I did. And I don't know if you get asked this, Renee, but it has actually come up a few times. So I'm really glad our listener actually wrote in with this one. I'm not going to swear because there was a swear word in this. I'll say stuff. So, Renee, you always look like you have your stuff together.
Is that right?
Yeah. Do you? How do you do it? Is it true? Do you always have your stuff together? Because I certainly do not.
Anyone that believes that someone has all of their things together is falsely identified what is really happening in everybody else's life. No, my life is chaos. However, I suppose I'm quite directed in where I like to find that chaos. So I'm very clear on my boundaries. I'm very clear on how I like to spend my time, and I know what fills my cup up. So I quite like being intentional about the things that I pursue and the chaos that I introduce into my life.
You are really good with boundaries, and you've definitely inspired me. I know the way that you think about your environment is really important to you. It's certainly important to me. And I've learned a lot from you around how you cultivate that. And I think the more I feel, it sounds like, what's that, the older I get, I hate when people say, the more that I've grown up, progressed.
The wisdom and maturity I now possess.
It has made me be really thoughtful, I think, and more deliberate about the people I hang out with, the boundaries I'm setting. And also, I'm just thinking about how this also relates back to how we look like, you know, looking like you have your stuff together, being really deliberate about that preparation. So absolutely. I feel like the question is kind of, how do you perform when it matters? Because a lot of the time my day does not go according to plan. Like, I'm just thinking this week I did daycare drop off and school drop off, put my coffee cup like on the bench, you know, side of our car, the coffee spilled everywhere. I would happen to be driving our motorhome that day. I rock up at school. I did this terrible park. I'm causing a queue. The principal was there. They came over and talked to me. It was so embarrassing. And then, of course, my son would not walk to school, and he screamed the entire way walking there saying he wanted to be carried right in front of the principal, who then walked us to the gate. So that morning, did not have my stuff together, and then had to turn up and be great in meetings, which can be really tricky some days when this is chaos. So
absolutely.
How do you handle it?
Absolutely. So what you're saying is there's a lot of chaos day to day. How do I handle it? So let's say the commute right now. So I live in Toowoomba now in Queensland, absolutely loving it. Country life is a gem. It's so nice to be back. I've been in the city for like 12 years now. So it's a really lovely and welcome change. And I am now commuting. So every Monday night I'm heading to Brisbane, fly to Brisbane, down to Sydney on Tuesday mornings and back Wednesday night. And things don't always go to plan. The other day I had booked parking for 4 a.m. in the morning to park my car near Brisbane Airport, catch a bus over to get to the 5 a.m. flight in time. Got there at 4 a.m. and driving around in circles trying to find the entrance to this damn car park. Couldn't find it, ended up in short-term parking right at the terminal, which cost a bomb, but I made my flight on time. I think the thing that I choose to do when chaos erupts is take a breath and realize that it's actually not a big deal. Losing an arm or your life or, you know, their loved ones or, you know, really dramatic things happening in life, that is chaos that you can respond to live, and, you know, it's expected that you're not going to have your shit together all the time. So I think for me it's really about choosing your battles, and when things do happen that are outside of your control, it's how do you respond to that. So for me, when things happen that are out of my control, I just take a breath and think about a logical response to that situation. And you know, the level of thinking, worry, or stress that you place on the outcome of that situation is really in your control. And yeah, I just choose not to delve into it. I choose to respond to it in the most appropriate way and then move on, because I have other things to deal with.
Yeah, controlling the controllables, I think that's really powerful. And yes, what I noticed actually after that trip the chaos trip in the morning was a good reflection piece for me. And I stopped myself before I went into my work day and went, okay, this is interesting. I've just made a bunch of really small mistakes, like smallest mistake, parking the car. I know how to park the car. Know that I shouldn't put the coffee cup there. I was in a rush. And I went, ah, this is really helpful for me as indicators of, okay, I'm not thinking clearly. I haven't actually had sufficient sleep. Okay, this is helpful to know. And then that's how I'm going to aim to plan my day accordingly. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you probably know that I've got a one-year-old and a three-year-old. So sleep is something that I often don't get a full night's sleep of anyway. So I'm constantly needing to operate on that. And there's an amazing entrepreneur, Leila Hormozi, and she talks about, she does things when she feels bad, even though she feels bad, whether she's got her period or she's, you know, hasn't had great sleep, because she has to perform anyway. So no excuses, but what does it take to create that kind of level of performance on that kind of day? And she really inspires me because, yeah, like I don't feel like getting out of bed in the mornings. Like there's days I do not want to go do things, but I am really passionate and excited about what I do. So I think about that and that why and that motivation, and that drives me. So I think part of it is noticing, okay, are those triggers, are there things that are, you know, that I need to put in place if I'm not having a great day or things aren't going according to plan, control the controllables. But I think also sufficient preparation and ongoing preparation continuously really, really helps me. So if I think about something like going and doing a speech, there's a certain level of preparation that I do. So if it's a brand new speech, I will rehearse the entire thing, full dress rehearsal in my hotel room or wherever I am beforehand.
Yeah, girl.
The whole speech, and as I'm talking to an audience, I'll look in a mirror, I'll look at my facial expressions, I'll see how do things sound when I say it out loud, and I'll do practice the speech at least 3 times before I get up on a stage. If it's one I've done before, I will still practice the whole thing once, and I hone in on the opening and the exit. So I'll just drill the opening, the exit. I don't know if I ever told you this right now. I'll like walk around my hotel room, and so I'll like pretend the bed's like the stage, and I'll be like, okay, I'm walking up onto the stage. I'll stand here.
Wow, the crowd, you haven't told me this.
The whole thing, so that I know when I go out on stage, there's that first moment of confidence. And for me, speaking is that there is this element of high performance because you're usually in front of people, you don't want to screw it up and all of that part of it. So that's something I think of when, okay, I need to have my stuff together. And a huge part of that is preparation. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Same for me. I think, you know, the year ahead for me is looking really busy. So what am I doing to start preparing months in advance to actually execute things? So for instance, when I'm doing speeches or signing up for talks and public events months in advance, I have a checklist of things that I need to do in terms of preparation for that. So I start that preparation kind of now for events in March and in June, and we're currently in January, February. So it's really just having a plan and a process in place so that you can consistently follow that process every time the same sorts of things kind of hop up in your life. And to that point as well, I think it's knowing yourself well. So what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Because generally when you've got strengths, you don't need to prepare as much, maybe because you know that you're already really strong and capable and delivering in that. But for where, you know, you do need that extra preparation, or you want to build a certain set of skills, you need to spend more time on it naturally.
And I ask my question things like what would have me feel prepared in this moment? So if I'm meeting a CEO who I really admire, I'm like, oh, definitely going to freak out because they're amazing. okay, how do I manage the fangirl? Okay, then I want to do some research. I want to have some interesting things to talk to them about. I want to have my agenda prepared. I might not even use the agenda, but the fact that I've gone, what do I need to be prepared or feel prepared?
Yeah.
Is a good question to start with.
I agree. If I use the example of, you know, preparing for a flight versus getting up on stage and speaking.
And Renee means flight like she can fly the plane. So you mean like
piloting. Yeah.
Not just like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, commute to Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, jumping on a plane and actually flying it myself. So recently my partner and I, Alex, did a flight from Camden Airport in Sydney up to Taree, which is where my grandparents live. We wanted to take my pop for a flight. So the preparation to get ready for that flight started about a week before the flight. And that was, you know, looking at the weather, that was preparing the flight plan, going through all my radio calls and rehearsing them before I even got on the plane. And then on the day, you know, it's bringing all that paperwork together, but then making sure the plane's really well prepared. You've got all of the requirements to make sure that that flight's legal. So having that checklist of what is going to make me legal, what's going to make me comfortable and confident on the day, what am I prepared for, what's my backup plan, all of that stuff I'm thinking about well in advance of the day. Mm. So that preparation piece is really, really important for you to look like you have your stuff together.
Totally. And yeah, now when you said like all the things that don't go to plan, in speaking, I've had so many things not go to plan. There was one where I was speaking at a school and they gave, before I went on stage, I said, here's a microphone. Okay, you've got to turn it on at the bottom. So when you get on stage, turn it on and then go speak. It's a handheld microphone. And I was like, cool. 400 year 9 and 10 high school students. What could possibly go wrong? walk on stage. The person also introduced me with a different speech than I was actually giving, which also threw me off. And then I pick up the microphone, I'm looking, and there's a tiny little button. I'm looking for this tiny little button. They switched the microphone. There was no button on the bottom. The button was on the side. Oh, you know when you feel like this, the moment of silence, like the awkward silence is like 3 hours long, but it's actually probably 3 seconds long.
Yeah.
It was like that. And there's this sea of school students. So all the flashbacks of what it was like at school were coming back to me.
In that 3 seconds.
I eventually found the button and I'm sure no one noticed. But, you know, thinking through, okay, what are those things that can go wrong and how can you prepare for that? So now, okay, lesson, learn that on the hard way. Think about, like, they might change a microphone on you. That's unexpected, unplanned. But, you know, drilling that first, okay, walking on stage, feeling confident, I can say those first few lines of my speech or, you know, the introduction while I'm still fumbling around trying to find a button because I've practiced that and rehearsed that so many times. So I think it's a really good one of, and you don't want to be like too doomsday about it, but what are those things that I can control? And if they don't go the way that I planned it, how can I actually work around that?
Yeah. And you're human, right? Like if I think about, you know, when I was younger, watching people give really great speeches and them looking really confident, prepared for those speeches, and then reflect on how am I feeling as I'm walking up on stage and, you know, what were the things that really captivated me about the people that have walked on stage prior to me and they look confident and their execution has been excellent. It's generally that they just feel calm within themselves. It comes with experience as well. So knowing how to respond in certain situations. So if things do go wrong, it's actually okay because things can go wrong and we expect them to go wrong.
Yeah.
So then, you know, in that moment, that 3 seconds of silence that we're all drowning in and hyper aware of, it's going, well, this is unfortunate. I'll be right with you.
Yeah.
And most people, if you make like light of a situation, people could feel comfortable in that too. So it's kind of responding to the things that naturally make humans feel at ease.
Yeah.
Whereas if you responded and was like, meltdown, I cannot survive the next 3 seconds. What am I going to do? Rush off stage in a fuss. You know, everybody's going to feel the heat of that moment and everybody will feel that 3 seconds.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
So it's really turning up and going, great. Not everything's gone to plan, but how can we pivot? How can we make light of it? I think it's almost like this acceptance that you're human. Everybody in the room is human.
Yeah.
You're there to deliver a message. So how do you deliver that message whilst keeping cool, calm and collected?
Yeah.
It's not kind of buying into this stereotype or expectation that we have to be high performers in every facet of our life, because you can still deliver the message you need at a really high standard and make light of a joke or something going wrong. And you're still going to deliver what you were there to deliver in the first place. So I think that's kind of one of the biggest takeaways for me is you can't avoid the unforeseeable and you can't plan for every situation, but you can get better at planning for that through experience, because things may happen on a reoccurring basis, or you just learn as you go.
Yeah.
So over time and through experience, everybody kind of gets there. But
yeah,
I also wonder, you know, in terms of presenting and podcasting and those sorts of things, we were speaking earlier today just around, you know, how we come prepared to these sessions together and, you know, how our chemistry kind of comes across over the microphone. And for us, you know, I think it's, we've had years and years of a friendship and we really trust each other. You know, we know what we can bring to the table. And so it's, how do you leverage your strengths? How do you come organized to whatever you're preparing for? But also, you know, through experience, we can sit here and just have a conversation and be able to share what that experience has been with you, because it's something we're passionate about. It's something that we love, and there's definitely a room in the market for it, because not many people provide this sort of insight, and we're really lucky and fortunate to be able to bring that to you guys. Yeah.
I think I want to unpack that a bit more, Renee, because I think you made a really good point, which is around, often you think, oh, I'm see someone speaking on stage, it's one moment in time, or I see someone doing something amazing, it's just one moment in time. But actually, there's probably a lot of background that's gone into that. And even, and that's what I think also helps when things don't go quite right. So for example, you might have spent, like we have, you know, 8 years building a friendship together. And then if things don't, you know, if we have a, I don't know, a bust up, in our friendship.
What's that going to look like?
I don't know. And we've had, you know, we've had, not to say disagreements, but we've, you know, had times where we might not have been on the same page about something.
Agreed. Yeah.
And actually come together, talked about it and moved on. But because we've had this investment of the relationship, we have the capacity to do that. And so when I do think about doing a speech, I used to very, very early on think about it was just the bit where you're on stage, but actually speaking is a whole relationship that someone will develop with you. So it could be that they might have read an article you wrote or seen your LinkedIn profile. That's when they start to build that relationship with you. Then you might have the briefing call. Then there's the introduction of you on the stage. And so all of those little pieces of puzzle are really important. Even going into the elevator to get to the speaking gig, who are you going to meet in the elevator? I remember I was doing a pitch as part of this social entrepreneur program. And it was at Macquarie in Sydney, those beautiful offices. I don't know if you've been in the Renee.
Yeah, Macquarie, yes, Macquarie, I have.
Down on, is it in the harbour there? It's beautiful. Yeah, beautiful
Martin Place.
Martin Place, yeah, it's lovely. So you walk in, I walked in the lift and I'm like, okay, cool. Just like be great with everybody. Chat to the person in the lift. Like, hey, like, what are you here for today? Or like, oh, we're going the same floor. Like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if we're here for the same thing. Struck up a conversation with this person. Turns out they were one of the judges on the pitching panel that I was just about to pitch to.
Wow.
So you think, oh, okay, just being great with someone in a moment in an elevator. Oh, wow, now I'm actually pitching to them. Yeah. How funny is that? But then so it wasn't just about me pitching with them in that moment. It was actually the moment before where they read my bio, where they met me in the elevator. So I think when it comes to preparation, it's not just that, oh, one moment. There's actually a bigger picture that we can often miss in preparing and thinking about those events and circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a holistic approach. It's, you know, being good in every moment, which is hard and it's tiring at times, but actually that's how you're perceived to have your stuff together is because you weren't seen fumbling in the elevator and you weren't seen rushing to the event.
That's it. Oh, I always leave extra prep time because that stresses me out. I know that's one of my triggers. So I'm like, I know I can be great with this person in the elevator because I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got 2 minutes together and I'm running late and I got to line in.
Yeah, correct. Don't do that. don't do that. You want to get there. You want to be cool, calm and collected. You want to, you know, be perceived as having your things together. And the way that you do that is you give yourself the best chance, and that means more preparation time. That means turning up on time or well in advance of time. But it also means, you know, playing to your strengths. It means being confident in what you're delivering and backing yourself, I think, is probably the final thing.
100%. I could not agree more with that. And it's a perfect note to end on. And if you're listening to this thinking like, oh, I don't do that, or I don't, you know, I don't have those feelings, it's going to be different for everyone. So find out what works for you. The best way to do it is practice, 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 and keep trying and seeing what, having that experience and discovering what that is for you. You might listen to us and go, oh gosh, I'd never do any of that. Cool. Like, what's your version for you?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's for you to figure that out. So thanks whoever said, you know, for the person who, I won't probably call them out. Thanks for messaging in and saying, I look like I have my stuff together, because very often you've seen the back end, Renee. You sat over last night.
We've seen the preparation.
You saw the chaos. You saw the screen. Your snotty noses.
No one gets away with it. No one, not even us. But on that note, if we haven't covered what's going to be applicable for you today, please write into us. We want to hear from you. We'd love to answer your questions. So you've seen it here live today. We have answered one of our other beautiful audience members' questions, and we'd love to keep doing that for everybody else.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. You've been listening to the Promoted Podcast with Felicity and Renee. See you next time.